to the Ellison Lombata Show, a podcast to help women discover and rediscover their confidence and style. I'm Ellison Lombata, and I am so excited that you hit play on today's episode because we are going to dive into one of my favorite topics. On one of the very first episodes of the podcast, I shared that my true passion around style actually has nothing to do with clothes. I recently confessed that I don't even really like shopping. And it's no secret that I'm a classics girl who loves to style my closet staples items on repeat. So, given these revelations, you may be curious, what keeps me engaged in the work I do as a stylist? And I'll tell you my secret. I am way more interested in the psychology of style than the clothes themselves. And on today's episode, I want to gently nudge you, gently, outside of your comfort zone to consider why you may think the way you do about your appearance and the clothes you choose to wear. Why are you drawn to or avoidant of certain styles or colors or silhouettes? Why do you feel guilty about buying clothes? Why is it so difficult to let go of clothes that don't fit you or no longer serve your lifestyle? Why do you feel the need to hide your body with the clothes you wear? If one or all of these questions struck a chord with you, please know you are not alone. In fact, the style messages we are chatting about today were all submitted by my Instagram followers. And if you're not following along yet on Instagram, you can do so by searching my name, Ellison Lombata. And we all know that chats like this are always way more fun with a friend. So I'm excited to welcome back my business manager and podcast co-producer, Lauren Smith, to join me for today's conversation. And if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please take a moment to do it now. I've got an incredible lineup of episodes for you in the coming weeks, and I don't want you to miss a single minute. If you enjoy listening to the show, I would be super grateful if you would just take a minute to rate it and review. I know it seems like a silly thing, but your rating and review really do help, especially for new shows like this one. Now, let's get to the show. Hey, Lauren, welcome back to the podcast. It's going to be a juicy one today.
Hi, Allison. Thank you for having me back. I always love chatting with you. And like you say, it is a juicy one. I was looking at some of the questions that we had come in through your Instagram, and we got a lot of good stuff to chat about today.
Indeed.
Awesome. So we're talking about debunking style messages. Can you give us some background on style messages and style stories? So what do you mean when you say these phrases? Where do style messages come from and how do they shape our style stories?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. I had some of our guests on the podcast bring up these style messages that they had heard, you know, growing up or some of the things that were part of their style stories. And I decided, hey, I'm going to go to Instagram and see if other people have experienced this too. But these are really just the messages or opinions that we have heard throughout our lives about style, but especially in our formative years. And these are things that maybe came from our family members, from our parents, or from our style role models, or from the media, from entertainment. And more recently, we've heard a lot of style messages on social media. Everybody's got an opinion and they're all out there talking about it, right? And as far as how they shape our style stories, I think that there are a few outcomes that typically happen. The first being that we conform, right, to whatever these style rules or messages are that we were given. So maybe we won't ever wear a color that someone said doesn't look good on you, or even though you love it, like you still hold that opinion of that color. And some people actually rebel against the rules. I've done this myself quite a few times. I'm not a big rebel in any way, but I've pushed back against some of those style rules and messages through the years. And that has kind of actually driven me to further embrace my own unique personal style in the process.
Love this. Yeah, I think this is something that you touched on in one of the earlier episodes of the podcast when we were talking about the negativity bias and talking about how, you mentioned somebody saying that a color doesn't look good on you and now you don't wear that color anymore, even though you love it. And it's that negativity bias of our brains remembering the things that we have to for like our safety and security. I think we were talking about like, you know, back in caveman times when it was like, if I eat the food from that field and those berries, that made me sick. And our modern day brains don't know any better than to forget those messages, right? Of it doesn't matter that random person who told you, oh, that you shouldn't wear that color. wear what you love, wear what makes you feel good, regardless. But some of those style messages, they really do get entrenched deep in us, right? And they're hard to let go. So I'm excited to dive into some of those messages today and debunk some of those for our listeners. So the lens, this is actually, as I was thinking about today's episode, the lens through which I personally find myself thinking about style messages and tends to be negative. And I don't know what that says about me, but I feel like it's a lot of absolutes. Oh, you too. Okay. So things like, you know, a woman should always and a lady never, and those kind of phrasing is what comes to mind. I'm curious if you think it's possible for us to have negative and positive style messages. Is that, you know, is that a realistic hope?
Absolutely. And I think we all have both of those in us. And honestly, I had to scan my entire life absolutely because of the negativity bias to try to find some of the more positive style messages. But, you know, things like compliments that have helped to impact my personal style, or, you know, some of the hurtful things that have been said that I've held on to, I've definitely felt both of those influences in my life. And, you know, being on social media, being out there in that space, a lot of times I hear the not nice things like, you're too old to be wearing those ripped jeans. And it's difficult to realize that, you know, sometimes there's an increasingly larger amount of positive messages that are coming through in that space. And I think one of the most important ones that I've noticed over the years has really just whenever I've shared about giving myself permission to spend money on my appearance, that's really resonated, because it's about so much more than the way we look. It's about how we feel. And really, it can go both ways, for sure.
Absolutely. So I know we're going to dive a little bit deeper into some of our own style story messages. For now, let's dive into some of the messages that your Instagram followers shared with us. This one, the topic that we heard the most had to do with spending money. So here are some of the comments we received in that style message. Always shop the clearance racks. This commenter actually said, in addition to that message, she said, I no longer do this. They are on clearance for a reason, which I thought was pretty interesting. Secondly, spending money on clothes is an extravagance for wealthy people, not us. White shoes meant you were really poor and often got made fun of. Now white shoes are in, and spending money on appearance is frivolous and unnecessary. Does it surprise you that money or spending was the number one theme we heard about?
Honestly, not at all. I feel like this is something that we hear from Alpha Formulas members, and we've heard through the years, you know, one of the main objections. And so many of us have carried these messages over from our younger years when spending was probably tight for a lot of us growing up. We've also gotten messages from society that it's frivolous to spend money on our appearance, right? And there also are legitimate budgetary issues for women. I get that too. And many of us are moms. We feel guilty when we're spending money on ourselves and on our own clothes when we could be spending it on our kids, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. You're right. We hear that from members all the time. So I noticed that you had a bit of a reaction when I read the one about shopping the clearance racks. I know this is something that I used to do a lot of. You're pointing to yourself like you also were doing the same things. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, I used to always shop clearance racks, and I do not do it at all anymore, because ladies, you are actually not saving money by shopping the clearance racks. What's going to happen is you're going to bring that stuff home. It's not going to work with anything else in your closet. And on a cost per wear basis, save up the money that you're spending on clearance junk and buy one thing that you absolutely love. If it's not a heck yes, it's a no. Skip the clearance rack.
All of the praise hands emojis for this. Yes, yes, yes. So in terms of, so we know to stay away from the clearance rack now. In terms of people who are looking to refresh, they're working on a tight budget. What other types of tips might you have for those women?
Yes, I understand this. I have been there for so many years, and I love to throw it back to some advice that our friend Michaelyn Smith, also known as the Nester, has given to us. She is brilliant with home decor, but she has some really good principles that align with Outfit Formula's philosophies and really just with my own shopping habits as well. But She has a podcast too called House Rules. If you want to check that out, I'll put a link in the show notes. But one of the things that she teaches is that we all have different ways to invest when we're exploring our style, right? So some of us may have more money. Some of us may have more time. Others have more ideas or more creativity. And some of us have more control. So Michael Lynn says that in the areas where you are lacking, that's when you can lean harder into the other qualities to find solutions. So in this case, if you don't have money for clothes shopping, instead, you can use your creativity to explore other avenues that work within your budget, or even some options that are free, or you can shop at the thrift stores. You can check out Facebook Marketplace. My husband finds free stuff on there all the time. I'm going to go on a tangent. He brought home this giant fountain over the weekend. I was like, I don't know, honey, but it looks great in the yard. So it's all good. But there are secondhand websites out there like Poshmark and Mercari. There's ThredUp. You can even do a clothing swap with one of your friends. Say, hey, I'm cleaning out my closet this weekend. Come on over. Anything I don't want is all yours. And then she can return the favor at some point in time. Check your local buy nothing groups. Those are great too, because people are in there giving away their clothes. So this method of curating your closet leans on those other qualities like time and creativity instead of money, but you're able to build your wardrobe that way. And honestly, I don't subscribe to guilt over spending money on myself anymore. So if that's something you struggle with, build it into your budget. It's as simple as that. Even if you can only allocate $10 a week, build it into your budget so that you have that guilt-free option right there waiting for you, and you can go out and spend some money on yourself.
Yeah, that guilt portion of it is, I feel like that's really the thread that drives so much of women's hesitation of spending, right? And investing in themselves. It is a really big hurdle to overcome. And the thing that I'm also noticing from some of the guests that have been applying to be on the show is they're saying they have a budget to shop, but they are still struggling, feeling guilty about buying clothes. Do you have any thoughts for listeners on overcoming that hurdle?
Yes, I do. You know, I think I was thinking about this guilt thing, and I've experienced this. I have so experienced this. Now that my kids are older, I don't as much. And now that, you know, we're at a stage in our life, we're empty nesters, we have a little bit more disposable income. So that factor doesn't come into play as frequently as it used to. But some of it is mom guilt for sure. But I also think that some of this guilt results from media and entertainment. You know, we've all seen it portrayed that women are shopaholics and we're just frivolous spenders, or that the things that we want or that we value spending money on is somehow trivial or worthless, and that we shouldn't be taking money away from the family budget to spend it on things that we want or need. But if you have your finances in order and you have allocated room in your budget for clothing or for beauty treatments or whatever it is that makes you feel good, then spend it without guilt. You have permission. It is okay to let go of that guilt and go ahead and do the things that make you feel good, because money is a tool. It's a tool to build the life that you want, right? You can't take it with you when you die. So if you're really struggling to spend some money on yourself, I am a huge proponent for therapy, whatever that looks like. And you could even do some research on money trauma around that and see, you know, what comes up for you in that space. And if there's some issues that you can work on to get to a healthier mindset around your finances, it is totally worth the work.
Absolutely. See, we're here not just for style advice, but for also just general wellness and well-being. I love that. You know, like you say, style and confidence, and those things go hand in hand. So exploring those things, you know, I find it so interesting. You're talking about money. It may, and this timing is really funny, actually, because I have an appointment this upcoming weekend to get my eyebrows refreshed, which I think it was 5 years ago that I had my eyebrows microbladed. And I remember you and I chatting about this. It was before my appointment, and I'd been doing like so much research about it. And you and I were talking, and I said, I don't know what's holding me back from this. And I said, I've done my research. I'm so confident in the person that I'm going to have do this. I've seen her work. I know she does a great job. I'm not worried about the pain. So I know it's not that. Like, what is the thing holding me back here? And I remember saying to you, it's the money. And I had the money, like I had the money to spend, but in spending that, because it's not, it wasn't an insignificant amount of money, but spending that money on myself, like I felt like I couldn't do it. But once I got there, once I unpacked all the other things, okay, it's not fear of this and it's not fear of that. And it's, I just don't feel like I can spend this money that I have saved for this purpose on myself. That was this huge light bulb moment of like, you know what? I am worth this. And this is something I want. And I've been intentional about it. And I'm going to do it anyways. And I did. And you guys, it was the best money I've ever spent. I would spend it again in a heartbeat. I'm going back this weekend for a refresh. So that just goes to show you, like, if you, you know, if you've done the research and you feel confident and you've been intentional in saving and planning for this investment in yourself, do it. Do it. Just do it. Nike.
I love this. I love this so much, Lauren, so much. You know what? You know what I love about this? Number one, you inspired me to get my eyebrows microbladed, as you'll remember, because I did shortly after you did. Number two, I love that you recognized you had that self-awareness and you challenged that mindset and you flipped it around to a worthiness message for yourself. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Everyone, you'll have to take a, this is the before of my eyebrows. And then next time I'm on the show, you can get the after once I've healed up from my refresh. So our next style message, I don't think this one is going to surprise you at all, Allison, because I know, again, you hear this one a lot. A lot of comments came in about age. So dressing your age, dressing age appropriately, like age appropriately, I'm putting that in like air brackets. And you're too old for certain clothes. So can you share with our listeners, what is your approach to style as we age?
Well, you know, age appropriate style always sends me off on my tangent. And I get this question all the time because women are always asking me, are ripped jeans age appropriate? Are leather pants age appropriate? And my response is always the same. Forget about what's age appropriate and focus on what feels you appropriate, because I firmly believe that you are never too old, or on the other side of that, too young to wear something that makes you feel good. So please just remember that. If you take nothing else from this conversation, let it be that. It just has to be you appropriate. But if you are stuck on something and you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable and you're like, oh, I'm not sure, is this you appropriate or not? Then I do have some questions that you can ask yourself. And the first one is, does this outfit boost my confidence and make me feel stylish? Because at the end of the day, confidence is king, or confidence is queen. And that's all that matters. If you feel like $1 million, then you know that you are always on the right track. Second, does this fit well and flatter my body? Dressing stylishly does not equal dressing uncomfortably. So don't squeeze into something just because it's trendy. And on the other side of that, don't wear oversized clothes because you want to cover up or they make you feel safer. And third, what message am I sending the world about myself through my style? Because for better or for worse, your clothes are an expression of yourself. So what do you want yours to say about you? And if you want to look polished, then you're probably going to make a different choice other than sweatpants and an oversized sweatshirt, right? And the same thing goes. If you want to be perceived as being more professional or more edgy or more feminine, the choices that you make are going to reflect that. So nothing here is wrong. Nothing here is inappropriate. It just really depends on your personal preferences. So if your outfit passes those three checkpoints, then without a doubt, it is you appropriate. And you can walk out the door holding your head high and feeling great, because there's no one size fits all approach when it comes to style. If you love denim shorts and leather jackets, then wear them. And if you're nervous about how it looks, snap the selfie, send it to a friend, or ask your teenage daughter. I always say they never lie. They will be brutally honest with you. So just ask them. And the selfie never lies. So that's a good thing. But just like with any new skill, the easiest way to learn what is going to work best for you and for your body and for your lifestyle is just going to be through a lot of trial and error and experimentation. I received a DM over the weekend from a woman I loved. And she said, I listened to a podcast episode. I was crying on my way to Target listening to it. I went in and I tried on a bunch of clothes. And I left, none of the clothes worked for me, but some of the accessories did. And I was just, I loved that so much that she went in and she tried. And I sent her a voice message after that. I'm like, thank you for experimenting. Like, that's where you learn. Even if you only left with accessories, well, those accessories are something new that's going to refresh what you currently have. But it's all about that experimentation process. So don't be afraid to play in your clothes. You know, carve out some time to do that. You are worth it. Go to Target, grab a Starbucks, go in the fitting room, try some things on, and see how it feels. If you step out of the house feeling awesome in your clothes, then guess what? You've nailed your look no matter what anyone else thinks or says. And also, that is the beauty of getting older. You care less and less about that.
So true. So many good things in that approach to age appropriate. I also want to share, if you are looking for a safe, supportive space to get some of that feedback, to get some of that, hey, I'm trying this, I'm not quite sure, what do you think? We would love to have you join us in our Closet Crew community on Facebook. It's a free group. There are over 30,000 women in there now. I cannot believe it. This is one of the kindest places you will find on the internet. We will link the group in the show notes for you at allisonlombatis.com/podcast. You can also find it, just head to Facebook and search Outfit Formula's Closet Crew, and that group will pop up for you. Our moderators will get you added into that group, and you are about to be welcomed by the most incredible group of style sisters who are going to have your back every single step of the way. So the next style message that we are going to chat about is one that we had to do a little bit of research on, and Allison, being our resident Enneagram 5, she was super stoked about this one because she loves learning new things. We got several style messages about not wearing white after Labor Day. So where does this rule come from? Is it still relevant today? And Allison, do you personally wear white after Labor Day?
I love this one so much. You're right. The Enneagram 5 in me just totally geeked out on it. As a matter of fact, you can ask my husband, Craig. Yesterday, we're having coffee on the back porch in the morning, and I'm sharing with him all of these fun facts that I learned. And I said, if I don't share this with somebody, I'm probably just going to explode. So thank you for giving me the space to share. But I actually did not know where this rule came from. I had to do some research. It's just one of those things that I blindly accepted and heard repeated all these years. But there's this awesome article from Vogue, and we're going to link that up in the show notes for you at allisonlombatis.com/show notes. But the summary is like this. Okay, so the rule dates back to the Gilded Age, which I'm a huge fan of. I watch the HBO show. It's my favorite. But in the late 1800s, when the more affluent members of society would head to their Newport mansions in the summer months, they would pack up all of their white clothing to take with them. Because at that point in history, you could not show a lot of skin, even in sweltering heat. It was just not acceptable. So the things that we take for granted today, like our sleeveless shirts and our shorts and short skirts, just were not an option. And the next best thing that they could do to beat the heat was to wear white, which reflects sunlight, right? And it was also highly frowned upon to show sweat, especially in front of the opposite sex. So wearing white was also a way to make those big sweat marks look a little bit less obvious, which we still get that today, right? And there was also this element of class elitism that came into play there. So white didn't show sweat, but it did show dirt. And wearing white was a subtle way to flaunt that you did not have to do any of the manual labor, also known as the dirty work, right? And so these were the reasons why white clothes were worn during the summer. And the reason why you can't, I put in quotes, wear white after Labor Day came into play, because as those socialites would return to the city at the end of the summer season, then obviously they pack their white stuff up and they weren't wearing it anymore. So the obvious reasons being temperatures are cooler, they're not so desperate to get relief from heat, and they could return to their typical wardrobes, right? But the less obvious reason that they weren't wearing white in New York at this point in time is that the streets were made of dirt and they were literally covered in horse crap. So and trash. So needless to say, your white clothes were not going to stay white for very long. But even as the roads changed and, you know, the 1920s and vehicles started running on the roads and the streets were cleaned up by sanitation workers, the reasons not to wear white started to fade away. However, we are still to this day hearing this rule, no white after Labor Day, and it just won't die. I mean, Coco Chanel was wearing white after Labor Day. Vogue was dressing models in winter whites during the cold months, even back then. And yet, here we are. It's still with us today. And to answer your question on whether I wear white after Labor Day, I do. Even though I grew up with this message, it primarily came from my grandmother, which was handed down to my mother. And I remember my little white Mary Janes when I was a little girl. You know, my birthday was around Labor Day and we had to pack those away. We weren't going to wear those anymore. And I think that's one of those rules that I really have pushed back hard against and said, no, I'm going to wear my white jeans after Labor Day. I remember in my early days of blogging, you know, this was one of the things that people were like, oh, you have on white jeans. It's like October. What are you doing? And that was just an opportunity to say, hey, that rule does not apply anymore. So yes, wear your white. And I wear white tees year round. I have a white faux fur jacket that I wear in the winter. My puffer coat, that's my primary winter coat, is white. So wear it. It no longer applies. White boots are in style right now. White ankle boots are in style. And I just hope to heavens my daughters do not carry this forward. Yes, you can wear white after Labor Day. That rule needs to die, and it needs to die now.
All right, folks, you heard it here right from Allison, the rebel herself, who is wearing white after Labor Day. Love this. So your style program, Outfit Formulas, is really based on building a foundation of closet staples. So we're talking timeless classic items that you can wear season after season, year after year. And we actually did receive a couple of messages in this vein. So things like choose timeless quality pieces instead of settling for fads, and buy the best quality you can afford, especially classic staple items. Why are those timeless classic quality pieces such an important part of building a functional wardrobe?
Yes, I am so glad that this is brought up, because I feel like these are two of these positive style messages that we've heard. It is always a good idea to invest in classics and to get your basics in place. I 1000% agree with this, because if you don't have the right basics in place, it is really challenging to create outfits, right? It's like trying to bake a cake without the flour, the sugar, and the eggs. It's just going to fall flat. That's why I love the meal planning analogy. When it comes to building your wardrobe, you have got to have those closet staples in place. They're just like your pantry staples. And then you get to add in the fun, fresh seasonal trends to keep everything feeling like it's fresh and new to you. So from a quality perspective, buy the best quality your budget will allow. And expensive does not always equal quality. Keep this in mind. Read the reviews. Check things out carefully. See what fabrics are used. You know, read the tags and really focus on these quality pieces, because you want these classic timeless staples to last season after season, year after year. Make them worth the investment. So what are some of the closet staples that I recommend? Honestly, this is going to vary. It's going to vary based upon your lifestyle. It's going to vary based upon your climate. But from my casual work from home lifestyle, I love great fitting denim in any wash, plus gray, white, and black jeans. I love good quality basics, tees and tops and tanks in your best neutrals, like white, gray, black, taupe, and brown. I always have toppers. I'm wearing all these pieces today to complete your outfits, like denim jackets and neutral cardigans, a moto jacket and blazers. These are the things that I wear year round. Footwear. Again, this is going to depend on your lifestyle, but I wear sneakers all the time. You may like taupe and black ankle boots, white sneakers, neutral flats and sandals. And of course, if you work in an office, you may need some heels. And lastly, you're going to want some timeless accessories. So stud and hoop earrings, plus some delicate necklaces and your choice of metals. And then finish things out with a few handbags in some neutrals like black, brown, and taupe.
This is amazing. So much of what I love what you're saying about closet staples. So actually, I don't know if people know this, but I was just a member of Outfit Formulas before I ever worked for you. And so one of the things I feel like a lot of our members at a certain point in their journey, they have this aha moment. And one of my aha moments as an Outfit Formulas member was realizing that, I mean, I had the list. I knew the closet staple pieces. I had those daily outfit formulas that I can follow when I need something to wear. But the really exciting part for me was all of a sudden I realized anytime that I was cruising on Pinterest looking for stuff, all of a sudden, all the outfits that I saw, I had the pieces to make my version of those outfits over and over and over. And it was like, oh, I could never do this before. I'd look at Pinterest and I just feel frustrated because I'm like, well, I don't have this, and I don't have this topper, and I don't have a basic, you know, black jeans. I didn't own black jeans before. So all of these cute outfits that kept coming up in my feed, I just felt frustrated. And Outfit Formulas helped me build that foundation of those closet staple pieces. So it was like getting dressed was fun again. And all those inspirations could all of a sudden were a reality, possible reality for me. And it was just like, it made it getting dressed fun again. So I'm all for closet staples, right there with you.
Yep. Black jeans are magical because you can dress them up or down super easily, right? And you're right. Like when you have the right closet staples in place, you can even copy all the outfits on your favorite influencers because you've got those pieces already and you can find substitutions and create those looks with things that you already have.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. I love it. Yep. Those closet staple pieces really are the place to start too. If you're just feeling overwhelmed, you know, look into those pieces that Allison just mentioned. Those are really the key things that are going to help you start being able to pull together, easily mix and match. There's so much goodness in those closet staple goodies. And if you're watching us on YouTube, drop in the comments. Let us know, like, what are your favorite closet staple items? What are the pieces you're wearing on repeat? What are the pieces that you added to your wardrobe that all of a sudden things clicked? And all of a sudden, now you could style all those cute looks that you were seeing online. I would love to hear from our listeners on that. And the last style message theme that we collected from your Instagram followers that we're going to cover for today, for a lack of a better phrase, I'm going to call this appearance expectations. So these were messages along the lines of always dress well for a gathering. People are honored when you dress well. It is just as easy to put on something nice as it is to wear a sweatshirt. You must always look put together and presentable. It's a double-edged sword. So I feel like there's a lot to unpack here. We're talking about honoring others with our appearance and how we present ourselves. It really demonstrates a level of respect, or in some cases, a lack thereof, for the people that we're interacting with. Do you think that there's any truth in this? And I mean, I'm specifically thinking of, I was chatting with a friend recently and she said, oh, I was interviewing a student for an internship at work and she showed up like 15 minutes late to the interview with her hair like dirty in a messy bun and wearing like a sweatsuit that looked like she had slept in it. So have you noticed this same kind of change among generations in this regard? Yeah, again, like we were talking about the Gilded Age earlier, people used to, I mean, obviously not Gilded Age, but in the 50s, people used to literally wear nice suits and hats to travel. And now it's all about comfort. So I'm just seeing this really big shift. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this.
Oh, boy, this is a good one. All right. So I can honestly see both sides of this. I honor that younger generations are a lot more relaxed in their attire. And you know what? I'm kind of okay with that. This is a very non-judgmental space. We are a judgment-free zone at Outfit Formulas. And you're right. This has been changing for the past several decades, from the Gilded Age to the Roaring 20s, when, you know, women were wearing shorter skirts, through the 50s and 60s and 70s and beyond. As a society, we have definitely become more and more relaxed in what we're wearing. It's true. And then along came COVID a few years ago and athleisure became a way of life, right? But I also get that there are times that you want to look your best, where you want to look put together, because for better or worse, people do assume things about us based on our appearance, right? And if you're showing up for a job interview like that, what are people going to assume about you? And that's what I like to say, even the advice that I give to my daughters who are both in Gen Z and are in this more relaxed camp of clothing, I share things like that with them, that it just feels more respectful when the cultural norms call for the professional attire that you dress that way. Our clothes tell a story about us and our characteristics, and we want those to be favorable, right? First impressions still mean a lot. So if someone wants to know that they're hiring a dependable person, then in a situation like that, absolutely, you want to dress the part and keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah. And you know, that last comment that mentioned it being a double-edged sword, you know, I get that. And I think so much of our confidence is tied to our appearance. And at the same time, you are worthy, valuable, loved, just as you are, regardless of what you're wearing, if your hair is done. I think we've all been there. We've like, oh, I got to run out and grab something. And you head to the grocery store or Target and you're just praying that you don't run into anyone you know. You know, and the flip side of that is we all know women who like won't leave the house without a face of makeup on. So how do we strike that balance? And what do you think it is that we're really seeking here when we're struggling with this?
Honestly, the answer is really simple. Dress for you. Put on makeup for you. Fix your hair for you. And if you're not feeling it, that's okay. It's also okay to be who you are, because you are worthy and you are lovable regardless of how you look. And in our day-to-day lives, we have to do what works for us, right? And what makes us feel good. And some days we might feel like we're barely surviving, right? And it just feels like too much to make that effort. And that's okay. And some days when you feel like you're barely surviving, maybe that is the step in the right direction of putting on an outfit that makes you feel good, or putting on a little bit of makeup, or fixing your hair. It could be that thing that makes you feel just a little bit better. And that's okay too.
Yeah. We touched on this before, I think in a prior episode, when we talked about your worth is not tied to your appearance, but your confidence is. And this really just like touches back on that message of if you're not feeling it and you just can't, that is okay. We have all been in those spaces and those periods of our lives. And also, if you need one of those, something to lift your confidence and boost your mood, this is also something that is in your control. So maybe it is, you know, pulling something from your closet and putting on a cute outfit that you feel good about. Maybe it's taking the extra 5 minutes to put on, even if it's just like mascara and lip gloss, something that's outside of your normal routine. It doesn't have to mean you go from 0 to 100, but maybe today you go from 0 to 4, and that's progress. And that is amazing. And that is how you get to 100 eventually one day. So wherever you are at, you are worthy, you are loved, you are valuable, and we are cheering you on.
Amen.
So Allison, I want to ask you, what style messages have you had to overcome, or have served you well? We were talking about they're not always negative. So have you had any positive style messages that have been part of your style story?
Yeah, you know, I would have to say that my mom was always very much the every hair in place, makeup on, even to go get the mail. I wrote about this in my book. And she really did place a high emphasis on appearance, not only for herself, but also for my sisters and me. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but I also had that sort of rebellion against that when I was a young mom. I would go to Walmart in my sweatpants, sometimes in my pajama pants, I'm not going to lie, and look like I belonged in one of those memes. But eventually, I realized that I was really just hurting myself because it didn't make me feel very good, even though I was like pushing back and again, just kind of like rebelling against growing up with that. But it's also what helped me to decide that I needed to start making more of an effort, but doing it for me only, not because of what other people thought, right? Not because I was rebelling or what anyone else thought about me, but again, just going back to how does this make me feel? And as far as messages that served me well, talk about double-edged swords, I would say the same message from my mom. It's been about learning to place importance on my appearance, but doing it again in that way that it is for me. And that was a total game changer. I think that all of, you know, Get Your Pretty on my first blog and Alpha Formulas is really based on that. I don't get dressed for anyone but me now in the way that it makes me feel. And that's really empowering. And I've also gotten over the guilt of spending money on myself. And I think that's huge, and on my appearance. And I love whenever I'm able to do that, when I'm able to share that message with other women to say, you have permission. You have permission to do this. This is not vain. This is not frivolous. I view it as an investment. It's an investment in my well-being. It's part of my self-care routine. And really that reframe and those mindset shifts have made all the difference.
I love this so much. I find, I'll be honest, when we were brainstorming this episode, when we put a call out for style messages, what you just shared, I really didn't expect the financial part of this to be such a common thread. And it really is. And it's that overcoming that guilt and moving away from the guilt space and moving into that acceptance of this is an investment in you, that you have every right to show up as the best version of yourself, whatever that means for you. So thank you for sharing that.
I love that. I want to hear from you. What style messages, I'm sure you've heard some growing up too. What are some that have been helpful for you, and what are some that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, I think it was something that wasn't actually like overtly said, but I think a lack of representation of plus size women at retailers, in advertising, in a lot of online spaces. So I think that lack of representation kind of, you know, subtly was implying that my body wasn't worthy of being stylish or of dressing well. And the game changer for me was, and again, we're talking about double-edged swords. Social media is one of those things where it's such a double-edged sword for me, but starting to follow more people who looked like me, who had similar bodies to mine, it really was a game changer. And it made me, you know, it gave me that encouragement of like, hey, I am worthy and I can wear those trendy things. And it's okay that I have a pooch belly and that I've got some chubby rolls. Like, I can still wear clothes that I love and feel good in them and show up, right? I do have something to offer the world and I am valuable. So really just embracing who I am, I guess, despite what is or is not showing up online or at retailers, that kind of thing. That was a big one to overcome. And honestly, that's still a work in progress to this day. And I feel like I really only made that big leap probably in the last 5 years, if I'm real honest about it. And then the style message that has been most helpful for me is one that I actually kind of adopted. So somebody that I follow online, he's actually a personal finance content creator. He's an author. He's got a Netflix show. His name is Ramit Sethi. And he always encourages his audience to build their rich life, which for him means spending extravagantly on the things that matter to you and cutting ruthlessly on the things that don't. So one of the things that he had said was the more dialed in you get on your rich life, the less sense it should make to anyone else. And I think the same rule applies to personal style. So I'm thinking of style icons like Iris Apfel and Lenny Kravitz. And they both have these like unique vibes that so many people would look at the clothes and the outfits that they wear and be like, oh my gosh, I could never, right? But they rock it with such confidence. And I think that is what I aspire to be, is uniquely me. I will know that once I make sense to nobody else, that is when I am dialed in on my personal style and what feels good to me. So those are my style messages.
Oh, I love that. Yes, yes, yes. I love how you've applied Ramit's concept of personal style. It's so true. The more that we get to know ourselves, the more that we experiment, back to that experimentation again, right? Then the more confident we're going to become in getting dialed in on that. And I love that it shouldn't make sense to anyone else, right? I think that's been the through line here, is that it needs to make sense to you and do it for you. So thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the podcast, Allison.
This was a fun one. We unpacked so many things. So much good stuff here today. And I would love to hear your thoughts about today's episode of the Allison Lombatta Show. Did any part of our conversation cause you to reflect on your own beliefs? Are you letting style messages hold you back from expressing yourself? Let's open a dialogue and connect. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube as Allison Lombatta. And I'd love to hear from you. And if you share your own thoughts about style messages on social media, please tag me. I would love to see them and cheer you on. Remember, you are worthy. Style is a skill anyone can learn, and closet contentment is possible. I believe in you. Thanks for tuning in.